Hi everyone, and welcome to the Reflection Hour on the Gentleman's Talk. That's what I'm calling my Sunday. It's nice as I get slowly to grips with enjoying this process, and my mind is bouncing around everywhere, and I'm thinking about ways to interact. I'm thinking about ways to manage my podcast, because it's been an absolutely amazing week for my podcast. I've certainly enjoyed it. I've enjoyed getting more stuck in. I've enjoyed everything about it. It certainly perked me up, made me feel a lot better about myself, and it's really helping me engage deeper and deeper with my own thought process. I've really enjoyed this week, and you know, the Reflection Hour is relatively easy when you have a productive week for something that you enjoy. It's been a roller coaster, don't get me wrong. If you've listened to my podcast throughout the week, and you'll probably get a live, not live, you know, but an active, up to date representation of how I deal with things, you know. And it is a roller coaster. Certain little things can affect your day massively. Like yesterday was quite a lazy day for me. Relatively lazy, you know, so kind of like a nice easy day, but. You know, I sort of kind of got engaged with the podcast late at night and really enjoyed that process. And then today was another one of those lazy days, but I didn't really want it to be a lazy day. I managed to go out for a nice 3-mile walk with the dog. But yeah, I was conscious it was a bit of... This is normally where I struggle, you see. This is where I feel like it's the thing to do, to laze around and just see the day. And it's not until you get into a reflection hour. A process where I'm analysing my weekend, and then I go, okay, what have you done? I did achieve. I got the motivation up to do a bit of design work, and I managed to prep a nice piece of olive wood that I'd had. Managed to make it into a cheese board for my auntie. So managed to design a cheese logo, laser etched it on, sealed it in, prepped it. You know, really, really turned out nice. So. Yeah, that was a productive aspect. I had to do that, because if I hadn't have done that, I think that this probably would have been a different podcast. It would have been me going, meh, how fucking bored am I? Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. I'm just going to get myself cozy whilst I talk to you, actually. So, sorry, I was leaning forward, but not comfortable, you know? So basically, I've just had the whole day with music, really. As you can tell, I've got a nice random mix in the background. And it just kind of gave me it has given me the ability to sit in the sun, given me the ability to enjoy thinking, really. And kind of, because I've been not on my own, because I've had family around me, but I had a nice easy day with no stress. Everyone's doing what their own, you know, everyone's been doing their own things, and, you know, just pottering around. I've done a little bit of creativity, a little bit DIY, a little bit of garden work, you know. But what that did give me the ability to do, and including with the walk, because I've just been listening to music all day, it's put me inside my own head. And something that something my best friend actually said to me this morning resonated heavily with me. And it was, you know, a really, really important message. I don't think I haven't got an ability to show you, because you know, it's in the background, and it will ruin the app. So, but anyway, the message that was sent to me this morning was, you know, he was proud of where I've come, and where I've come from, and how I've progressed to where I am now, and still acknowledging that, yeah, he knows. If anything, he would know firsthand, because he's worked with me. He's been on the end of my beratements. He's been on the end of me being frustrated and angry. He's seen it firsthand, because he's, you know, a fundamental big part of my life. So for him to say that I've come this far actually resonates a lot heavier with me than... You know, just your average Joe, if they said it, and they say this. And by average Joe is somebody, you know, you can kind of work alongside. Oh yeah, I've noticed a little difference in you. You know, or something you don't see as regular. But to hear it from somebody who's been there through those horrendous dark times, and only really ever seen probably a snippet of the real dark times, you know, and I sent that to him in his message that even I'm surprised I'm here. And I say that candidly, because I can say that now because of where I am now and how far I've come. And they always say there was a quote that I'd read a little while ago that always fear the person who has been to the darkest depths but managed to pull him out himself. You know, you always fear that person because that person has been to the most horrible place you can imagine. So there's nothing that he can fear now. You know, and that's in the context of most things in life. You know, of course, we have a respect for the sea and all the other things, and you know, respect for speed and heights and all the other things. So, you know, not sort of context. That's not the context I mean. I mean, in just in general, that you don't take as much shit. You also acknowledge when people are being negative a lot quicker because you're like, mate, hold on a minute, I've been to the point where I've wanted to not be here any longer. So there's nothing you can physically say that can hurt me or harm me because, you know, I'm not a religious person, but in the context, if I was, I would have used the phrase that, you know, even God wants me here. Do you know what I mean? So somebody who's been to the depths and come out, you know, in a better place, you should be feared of those because they're the strong characters, and I admire that because, you know, I've got a lion tattoo on my hand and I've got a warrior you know, tattoo on my leg, you know, just to remind me. And there's a little tiny semicolon on the tattoo on my leg, which is I had that purposely put in there because, you know, that's the semicolon is the icon for, not the icon, you know, the logo for depression, because it, you know, semicolon obviously meaning, you know, it's not over, used in story writing. So it resonated with me this morning. I kind of sat there and I went, do you know what, mate, it was really, really, really nice, and, you know, to hear that, because although I didn't know how to respond to it because the emotion was initiated by someone else, it's okay when I get into a position where I, you know, I can articulate my emotion, and I can. I love articulating in words and you know, verbal words or written words how I feel because I like writing. So, but I got to be in the right frame of mind to be that way. So for me to have someone say that to me, and genuinely, you know, genuinely mean it, it meant a lot to me. It really did, because we all go through life saying, you know, I love you, and we all go through life saying, you know, how are you, and all that sort of stuff, and these just become the normal words, you know. But to actually hear it put down with a context, that means a lot, because that person's understood my journey, has understood my process, understood that he's been there and seen how quick I can react. He's been there and seen me physically cry. He's been there and seen me physically, you know, get angry. He's been there for all of those difficult emotions that I've endured. So to hear that, that meant a lot to me, because that is that recognition, that not recognition, because it's just that kind of, it's that support. That's the wrong word. The wrong word was recognition, but support is the word I'm looking for. And that is invaluable. And I've always said, you know, I know I keep talking about friends, and I really do all the time, but I can't emphasize enough on how supportive they are, and how if you nurture the you know, the right people around you, and they send you things like that, those sort of text messages. And I've had my other friend Nelly send me photos of him back on his fitness journey. Excuse me. Back on his fitness journey, going out for walks. And I've had my other friend, Billy, you know, contacting me with his gun shooting and just a bit of banter, which is like invaluable. And I've been engaging back in with my brother, and we've been having the banter and, you know, personal message. I was ripping the shit out of him actually yesterday for his Saturday night. He was cleaning the carpet with a rug doctor, and I was like, mate, you are just fucking rock and roll, buddy. But when you nurture those people around you, And those people look after you, and those people enjoy your company, and they give you that support, and you give them the support back, it's invaluable. It really is. It just makes your day. You know, I was walking in the sun today, and I was listening to messages from my friends, and I was oblivious to what I was doing because I was smiling and having a laugh with my friends. And, you know, it's not like we can just go and knock on a door. Well, you can, but, you know, you can't just walk around the corner and knock on a door like we used to do. I keep always alluding back to that old, you know, that old way, you know, the old before phones and all the other shit that we had to deal with. It was just raw and unedited knocking on the door. Let's go, mate, you know. And it brings me on nicely, actually, to a metaphor that was said by somebody. And believe it or not, this metaphor, and I'm not going to tell you who the metaphor was. I will do at the end because I don't believe in plagiarism, but I'm going to put it in a context that is relatable. And then at the end, once I've told you the metaphor and how I think that it works, and I think that it works with life. It's a little bit of interactive as well. Sorry, I've just had a massive fruit shake because I'm trying to be so healthy, but you know, it's like fruit in your stomach. It just, it's in that in my belly. So it's like absolutely horrendous. Who said bloody being healthy is easy? I mean, I'm literally firing out seeds at me backside. I'm chewing that many seeds and everything I've got. Fibre, mate. It's all about the fibre. You try and tell that, mate. You're spitting shotguns out. Shotgun rounds. You know what I mean? Anyway, digress. Where was I? I've lost my track. So anyway, yeah, I completely lost track of what I was trying to say then, because I was just, this is what happens, I go off on this tangent and I just go, I have no idea what I was talking about. We get into the, I've been re-engaging with my brother and everything else, so it's been fundamentally amazing. And what that did then was it made me look at these other things, and this video, the end of it, when I tell you who it is, you can probably relate it to the way that the metaphor would have been said by him. And what I tend to do then is I just want to put a spin on it with a little bit of interactivity and then tell you who it is at the end. So, right, if you're sat there now listening, hopefully you're sat there listening anyway, just put your hands together with about an inch gap, you know, above them. And this is called the gap analysis. And I have looked into it, but the person who did it in a slightly different way. So, and then what happens is, as this whole journey basically is this gap. So if you imagine this gap, as this gap gets bigger. So if you imagine at the moment, your whole gap is inside this inch gap between your two hands. So you're not quite clapping. They're together with an inch gap. And inside that gap is everything that was before, or, you know, everything that you call, you know, life. Friends, family, everything else. And as we've been talking along this journey, I've been heavily, heavily involved in getting people to look at the people around them and progress and move forward and look at them around them. Make sure that you're nurturing the right people around you. Make sure you've got supportive family, you've got supportive friends. Just because it is family, it's irrelevant. If family doesn't mean you have to be friends. At the end of the day, you may clash. You need to acknowledge your family, but, you know, at the same time, you can't disown them. Do you know what I mean? You can, but it might cause a bit of heartache later on. So this gap is us, right? So you've now got your hands together. And what we do is we grow. And so as we grow and we sort of get, the gap gets further away. So the baseline at the moment is an inch gap. The baseline's the floor, and everything inside is all your friends. Now, as you grow, you get higher up. So the gap gets bigger, and it gets bigger, and it gets bigger. Now, you're noticing that this gap, you at the top, so you're the top hand, your friend's the bottom hand now, and you're growing up. But the bottom gap isn't coming with you, so you're actually creating a bigger gap. So instead of it coming up together and you're rising together, so to speak, you're actually separating. So what's happening is all those people that were, you know, that you've weeded out and you've looked at and gone, they're not engaging with me, they're not supporting me, not looking after me, they're staying there. So the only way to go back to them or to go back to that and make it so it was okay is by bringing yourself back down again. But you don't want to do that because that's negativity, isn't it? That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the gap bigger. We're trying to get higher in the chain. We're trying to sort ourselves out, pick ourselves back up. this is a metaphor for being the platform, but we're trying to be better than that. We're trying to get us away from all of that negativity, and it will come up together if everybody was involved. But you're not. You're naturally going to get that gap slightly bigger. So we don't want to regress, because that's not what we're trying to do. So as you get bigger, these people just aren't going to come with you. And you're going to meet new people along the way, and sometimes they're going to fall to the bottom, and sometimes they're going to sit on this top hand with you, and they're going to rise. But do not, by any stretch of the imagination, draw that gap back down to the inch bottom gap. Keep that going. Keep making sure that you're weeding out those people that aren't looking after you, aren't supporting you. Now, the context that it was used in was actually by Snoop Dogg on his homies, as he says. So I think if you type in Google, Snoop Dogg and the Gap, the homie Gap or something like that, I think you'll probably come up with it so along the lines. And you'll see him sitting there and you'll see him talking. I'll see if I can find the link. I might be able to put it into the thing at the end as a short video. But it was very, very interesting that the way that he presents that is very much like he uses the metaphor in terms of the hood and you know, in terms of the old life, and the old life for him was making sure that everybody was happy. And this is where I'll sort of dive in a bit deeper now, and you can relate then, hopefully, in the context of it. So he was relating to the gap at the bottom was just making sure that everybody was fed and everybody was keeping alive. You know, that was his base rate. But he wanted more than that. He wanted more money. He wanted more. He wanted a better life. So, and he wanted to better himself. He didn't want to be in that low level. So he kept going up and up and up. But as he was going up and up, he realized that the gap was getting bigger and he wasn't seeing those old friends as much, because they weren't interested in progressing and bettering their life. They wanted to live the hood life, if you like. That's the metaphor he uses. So, I mean, obviously, I'm a straight up gangster, so I don't want to give myself away. So, you know, this is me, you know, I'm trying to be a bit low key about this, all right? So, straight up gangster, you know, Eminem ain't shit on me. So as we get slightly bigger, he then realized that there was a gap. So he was like, well, I want to talk to my homies. But to talk to his homies, he had to go back down, which means that the gap closes. You don't want to close the gap, though, because that means he's back down there again and he's not up the heights where he's getting better life. And he was bettering himself. So he just let them go, and then the gap got bigger and bigger and bigger, and now he doesn't see those people, but they're still doing the same old routine, the same old negativity, the same old lifestyle, the same old moaning, but in actual fact, he's away from it, and he's a better person for it. So, and that's where I use that gap analogy in the same sense of friendship, because it's really important to make sure that we grow, because that's what this is about. It might have been, certainly for me, anyway, I certainly realised that a lot of my downfalls was the company I was keeping. I was keeping some very negative company. And as I keep saying to you, that as this fog has lifted from my face and I've been able to see, and life has become with more clarity and it's got more vibrance to it. And it's not just a black and white minefield at the moment. This is what it used to be to me. Everything was dark, dismal, and I didn't really see the light. Whereas now I'm starting to see that fog clearing. I'm starting to enjoy other things more. I'm starting to get ambitious again with regards to, even now I want to take a half day off next week and go wakeboarding, because I'm excited to go. Whereas last year, completely irrelevant to me. I could have gone, but I didn't want to. And the year before that, I didn't go at all. And the year before that, I went. But so we're talking almost, you know, 2.5 years I haven't been wakeboarding, doing a sport I absolutely love. Part of me is a bit worried, because I'll probably go straight back in to try and do backflips, not realising I'm 2.5 years older than I was when I last did one. And also the fact that it's been 2.5 years since I've ridden. But do you know what? You know, got to give things a go. Might be crippled for a couple of days, but c'est la vie, as they say. So it's, yeah, so I watched that video, and it meant a lot to me in the sense that it was Snoop Dogg. He's a living legend. I was heavily into my rap in the rap days, when rap was actual rap, not crap like it is nowadays. It was actual rap. And I don't care if I offend anybody with that one, because, you know, I grew up with, you know, some very, very good artists, you know, Tupac, Biggie, Mace, you know, all of the good people. So Ja Rule, I mean, what a legend Ja Rule was. And Ashanti, what a song. I mean, literally, there'll be some people there going, what a tune, or tune. We used to blare that outside of my Ford Escort convertible in maroon red. My friend actually had a blue Ford Escort convertible. The only difference was I had the automatic roof because I'm posh, and he had the manual roof. However, the downside to the automatic roof was when it goes wrong, it costs you more money. And we all know that Fords are fix or repair daily. So, yeah, it was good. But it was fun times. We were listening to all of the good tunes. So I'm relatable to Snoop Dogg because I've grown up with Snoop. You know, not literally. You know, he was round the corner, I was east side, he was west side, you know what I'm saying? Don't get mixed, because, you know, when I did a couple of days in the in Popoville, you know what I mean? Don't want to talk about it, mate. It's nasty stuff. Anyway, I'm literally talking shit. So I related to it, and it drew me in, and then I easily related that to my own life, and I was like, that is amazing, that is what we do, and it gave me an instant, you know, an instant relatable context when I started spreading my hands apart, going, okay, well, that's some people that I've known for years, and, you know, I've cut a lot of people out of my life, and, you know, not in a negative way, but just acknowledge that they're not right for me. They're not right for the journey and the path I'm on. So I've let them go and I've slowly moved away. So, and it is, the metaphor's there. And a couple of times I have tried to drop back down again and go, oh, well, you know, how are you? And all this. And then I realise, no, fucking cut it dead, mate. Move forward. Move forward. So, and I have, and as I increase, and I'm then getting these amazing messages saying how far I'd come along. You know, I've literally got a handful of people on my Facebook, and they all engage with my posts because there's a small handful of people. I'm not looking for 300 people that don't really give a shit about me. You know, and I've watched that over variation, and the same people like my posts and the same people comment. So I'm like, this is amazing. These are the people that I want around me. These are the people that support me. These are the people I want to support back. These are the people I want to make happy. It is difficult. I'm very much a pleaser. I like people to have a good life. I like people to have a good time. I certainly like to make sure everybody around me is happy. That can be sort of counterintuitive because I do tend to jeopardize my own happiness for other people's, because I always get this impression that because I've been as unhappy as you can be, it can't get any worse. You know, the only physical way of getting worse is by ending it. And, you know, so for me personally, I don't want to get to that place now. So I'm conscious when I see people that are low and unhappy that I want to make them happy. I want to bring their spirits up as whatever I can do. And that's proven to be really, really detriment to my own financial cost and my own emotional cost sometimes. So, but I'm happy to say that this gap that has been growing and I've been getting better and better, and I'm learning to manage these things, that I'm happy because I know that the people around me, I know for a fact that whatever I invest in them, they're going to invest back in me. And that's a big, big part of my life. That's a big part of this journey. There's so many people. I think that we've opened up so much to social media. We've opened up to so much, sort of presenting so much of our life to everybody. It does become an addiction, and it has been an addiction for me. And it is very, very negative and disheartening when you don't get the feedback. I'm a lot happier now I'm off 90% of all social media and just use my Facebook because it links to this. And I know that there's an element of struggle because you still need social media, unfortunately, to progress forward in life with regards to getting notified. But the good thing is I'm not doing this for the notoriety of it. I'm not doing this because I'm trying to be famous. I'm doing this because I want to help people. So for me, that removes a lot of that pressure. So I'm not too bothered. The only reason I'd like it to be shared, things like me talking, is because I feel I can help other people. And that is I'm more interested in that. I'm more interested in people hearing that, where people can come from and actually get to. So it was a really good analogy. I mean, and from Snoop Dogg, you know what I mean? So it was really important to listen to that. So, but what I've indirectly done is, like I said, I've had an amazing weekend, and I feel like I've seen my friends because, you know, we've been engaged and we've been talking, and it's lifted my spirits up. And here I am now, prompted to wanting to do a podcast because I like to make things interesting for them and listen to me. So, and it's given them kudos as well. We'll see how they feel in the next couple of days when I say that Tuesday night we're doing the live feed. And I've got some great stuff for that as well. I've been really, really invested in thinking about that. And I've got this nice little trick that I'm going to... Not trick, that's the wrong word, because trick sounds, you know, like you're going to do something evil. But I've got this little thing that the way that I'm going to capture it and deal with it. And I think it'll be exciting times. I hope so, anyway. So, yeah. So, and it sort of drew me onto reflection, really. And it was really nice because... What that did when I watched that this morning and then went out for a walk, I gave myself that whole vitamin D, the sun was out, vest and shorts were on. And I was walking the dog, just me and the dog, and listening to music. I'd watched this video in the morning when I got up, so it was playing on my mind all day. And then I had some happy times, I had some sad times, because I did have sad times about losing contact with some people. I've also felt sad that I've had to lose contact with some people, because despite their negativity, some people I've pulled away from have added some amazing memories in my life. We're just on different journeys, we're just on different paths, and I've had to recognize that. So I've had to analyze it properly and put it in the right context properly, if that makes sense. And by that I mean understanding that these people were a part of my life, understanding that I've had some good times in my life with memories, photos, and you know, something to talk about, something to, you know, when I'm sort of 70, 80 and just sat there pissing myself. There's nothing wrong with me, I'm just pissing myself. But when I'm sat there in an old age pensioner's home or wherever, you know, and I'm reminiscing on my life, there'll be a part of my life. But it's recognising that that chapter is over. It's recognising that that chapter's closed. And I've closed that book and I've put that to bed, you know. That chapter's moved on and I've moved on to another area now. So sometimes we try and drag those people along, and I think that sometimes it's actually easier and less painful. And I'll reflect back actually to a sort of gif, if you like, or a photo that I was sent from one of my friends, Billy, who there was a guy holding a rope and his hand was, you know, completely torn apart, red, you know, it was tearing because he was holding on to his past, and he let go of it and then his hand relieved. You know, so it then turns back to normal and it says actually it's sometimes it's less painful to let go. And I think that that is really relevant. And it's all of these little tiny videos, these little tiny clips. And I think that coupled with the addiction to need or think that we need lots of friends, because it's crazy when I reflect back, and I did reflect back, like I said, today, and I had some happy and sad times. I didn't have a lot of friends when I was at school either, really. I didn't have massive of friends. And it was only when social media kind of came onto the platform, really, and just kind of destroyed everything. And we felt connected to a lot of people. But I think it's a false connection. Because, in fact, I don't think, I know it's a false connection, because we're not meant to go through life and hold on to so much of our past, because that's what we do. We go out on the lash and we're like, oh yeah, yeah, add me to Facebook, mate. Yeah, add me to Instagram, you know, and then you talk for a couple of days. And I've fallen foul to this nearly every time I've gone out. And you think that you need, you think that that fleeting moment that you've had, or that fleeting past, or, you know, you've known someone and you've been on a course with them for a week and you think to yourself, oh, he's an absolute legend. Yeah, because you got him on a good week, mate. He wasn't stressed from work. He didn't have all his other commitments, etc., etc. So sometimes we try to hold on to things thinking there's a connection there. And in actual fact, social media has given us the connection. But it's a false connection because they're not interested in us. They don't know nothing about us. Or if you're in the past and you've moved on, you normally just let go. You just go, you know, if I had a friend at school, and you know, we're talking back in, you know, 1990s, if I had a friend in school and I didn't like the person, I would avoid them. you know, or I had a friend that's gone on to another friend, I would avoid them. And I go, okay, well, we've moved on. We were friends in year seven. We're not friends in year eight. He's met new friends. He's grown into a complete and utter goth Looney Tune. He's found himself listening to rock and roll and dressing up in black. And I'm not. I'm interested in, I don't know, at the time I was interested in snakeboarding rather than skateboarding, which was a big thing then. Google it. It's fucking legendary. So I was into snakeboarding and you know, BMXs and stripping my motorbike down and rebuilding it and taking my scrambler out. So that's the sort of thing I was interested in. So I wasn't interested in that. So you lose friendships, but it was healthy to do that because you acknowledge that you've parted seas and you've gone on different paths. I think that social media gives us that... that false sense of friendship, whereas, you know, we think that we know that person and we see a couple of videos from that person or a couple of photos from that person. And in actual fact, they're not your friend. So you look down and you've got 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, I've looked at some Facebooks and they've got like 600, 700 people on their Facebook. And I go, I bet you haven't got 600, 700 friends, mate. You've probably got 4. So it gives us that false feeling that we're liked by so many people. And then when you don't get that gratification, you don't get that kudos or that like or that comment, and then you see them comment on one of their other friends and you go, oh, okay, wow, dickhead. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that they've got a closer relationship. They've nurtured that person for them. And, you know, Facebook is Facebook, isn't it? Take it for what it is, you know, or whatever social media platform you're using. It's take it for what it is. If you want to go for likes and you want to go for fake friends, then obviously then you might be the next big break. You know what I mean? It's only a game show. You better believe it's right. If you know that quote, then snookaloopy, nuts are we. So, you know, if you want to go down that route and think that that's going to give you the next bit of fame and you're going to be the next big thing, then carry on. I've tried and you won't succeed because I didn't succeed. I mean, I've fallen into that trap. I've certainly fallen into that trap many, many times. And I've learnt the hard way to think that, you know, you do get a certain amount of business and stuff like that. But I think personally, word of mouth and doing things for your friends, and it is, if you're in a secure job, you're in a secure environment, you know, you've got your own house, you know, there's a lot of things you don't need in life. And one thing I've discovered I don't need is social media, because I use Facebook now as a cloud-based fucking photo archive. Do you know what I mean? That's basically what it is for me, looking back and seeing what I've done. It was quite interesting because my garden's completely changed recently, and I've done a lot with it last year into this year. And I'm getting videos and photos on Facebook from 10 years ago to the last couple of days, of me building a barbecue, outside barbecue, tiki hut and everything. 10 years ago I did that, and I remember doing it, you know. So I think that because I'm using it like that now, I get a lot more gratification out of it rather than going posting and going, well, who's going to like my photos, you know, because I've already done the groundwork for that. I already done the groundwork to know that those 18 people or whatever, 20 people that I've got on my friends list are all close to me, and I like their stuff, they like mine. So I know for a fact that I'm going to get that little bit of kudos that we all like, because we do like to feel loved, we do like to feel like people care about us. But I know I'm going to get that from the people that I've got on my friends list, because that's what I've done. I've developed that, I've nurtured that. And I know for a fact that for me, the people that I've got currently in my life, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but they certainly add a lot of value to my life. And if, for instance, they fall off the growth pattern because they do something else themselves, I'm confident in the fact that I know that the people around me will always be friends with me for life, because I think that they're very, very good people. And I get a lot out of each individual one of them. So, and that's invaluable to me, really is. So, and I know I harp on all the time about friendship, but I can't emphasize enough, and I said this earlier on, exactly the same word, how important they are. And I've said this so many times, because they add a lot of value to you. They perk you up. They They make you feel happy. You know, they give you motivation. They push you as well, which is really important. And also, it's just nice to feel that you're part of something. So I was happily. That was my reflection Sunday, really. You know, and it was. I really thoroughly enjoyed it, actually, and I thoroughly enjoyed the engagement side of things. And I've kind of noticed just that my spirits are lifting up a little bit more. You know, I do get. I never know what tomorrow is going to bring, which is always a difficult bit for me. And, you know, tomorrow is one of those days that I don't know what it's going to bring. I know I've had a quiet weekend. So do I think that tomorrow is going to be a bit of a slow one? Potentially. But I'm ready for it. I'm geared up to know that, you know, I've had 2 weeks and I've had no colleagues in because they've all been all had time off for Easter. So I'm coming back in to hear about their time off and moving forward with planning to get ourselves geared. You know, to do our job properly now. So, you know, there's a lot going on. So I don't think it will be as bad as I normally would get if I've had a quiet weekend. And also, like I said, I'm going away next weekend and I'm really excited about that. It's a way away as well. So it's not like local, it's not stressing. It's just a car ride to a location, enjoy the weekend and a car ride back. And I've obviously discovered as well that it's bank holiday Monday. So get 2 days off and back into work on Tuesday. So I get plenty of rest and recuperation from hopefully a good weekend. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if it's a good weekend. I'm not planning it to be an amazing weekend. It's just go with the flow and see what happens. So that's how important friendship is to me. And that's why I keep harping on about it. That's why I think everybody needs to do it. Everyone needs to look inside themselves. Everyone needs to, not literally, because, you know, that'd be fucking scary. But everyone needs to look inside their own little network and just see. Because I guarantee if you actually gave it the time of day to look down at your friendship groups and go, yep, he doesn't fucking talk to me. He doesn't talk to me. He's not interested, you know. And sometimes you can just drop a few of those off and you start getting to the point where, you know, the people that you've got around you are constantly engaging with you and constantly having fun with you. So they're supporting your moods. They're bringing you up because you're getting that kudos and that level that you need. So massively important, really massively important, and super exciting that I'm, you know, that I'm so engaged in this. And like I said, I've got a live show coming up this week, which I've got a few plans for. The 1 to 2 people I'm looking at, maybe 3. I don't know what we're going to do yet. I don't know. I kind of want to do a test piece, really, to see how it goes. I've got this, like I said, I've got this little spin to kick the conversation off, and then just have it as a chat, have it as a talk about, you know, mental health and stuff like that. And I'm really interested to understand what other people's perceptions of it is. And I'm really interested to understand in how people have managed their journey, and do they think that they've ever had this? Because, you know, I'm not here to diagnose anything. One thing I did read earlier on, actually, was if you're ever going to talk about mental health and somebody says to you they're a bit down, or, you know, they're feeling a bit low, one thing which I thought was, I see the relevance to it, but at the same time, I think that it depends on who that person is. But again, it struck a chord with me, and that was them saying, if you're talking to someone about mental health, and I was sort of kind of, the reason I got onto that topic was because I'm looking to talk to other people about mental health. So you've really important what you, how you present the conversation, and it's really important to be careful, because the last thing you want to do is trigger anything. So I was looking, and they were saying, whatever you do, do not diagnose. If someone talks to you about their illness or how they're feeling, don't diagnose them with something, because you're not I'm not a trained psychiatrist. I'm not a trained, you know, therapist. So I can always sound and look at symptoms, but let's face it, we can all look at the internet for symptoms. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's what people do, but that's probably what some people do. Look at symptoms and go, I need the symptoms. It's over the prolonged period. I keep talking about this. I've told you this before. Prolonged period stuff. So it's hugely, hugely important that I make sure that I get this right. and make sure that I'm not here to diagnose anybody. I'm just here to talk, and that's where the relaxed side of things is going to come into play. And then hopefully it just grows, it gets those legs and moves forward, because I think it'll add a lot to it, you know, in terms of this. I mean, I've been talking to you now for the best part of 49 episodes, so you know, you've heard a lot of my voice. I've certainly enjoyed it, and I'm continue to enjoy it. And like I said, the feedback that I'm getting from other people, the little indirect questions that I get from people, in their own little quirky ways, are amazing for me, because it gives me that spark to go, I can relate to that. I can talk about that. And all of the positives I get from the people around me and the friends I've got around me just underpin all of this conversation. And I'm giving you, like I said, you're getting up-to-date episodes with it as this all happens. So it's really, really important. And we're all here at the end of the day to make the most out of this one chance we've got at life. Christ, we're one of the luckiest sperm to get through. So, you know, it's massively important that we hold on to that and we embrace it and we cherish life. And we take every opportunity to have fun. But along that way, you know, every day's learning. And we're all finding our feet all the time. And like I said, social media can be such a negative tool for us. And it's been negative to me. That doesn't mean it's negative to you. And I know it's got massive advantages. And this isn't me. I'm not on some sort of crusade to ban and abolish social media, because that's not what I'm here to do. I just know it doesn't work for me. For me, from my perspective, because I get too jealous and I get fixated on the negatives of social media. So I know that my brain doesn't have the capacity to, you know, look at other people's problems and read them and not just put them in the context that they are, like somebody's out there getting needy or someone's out there fishing for likes or whatever. I have to physically comment. So I go, and then before you know it, I'm in heated discussions, etc., etc., or I'm seeing things that I don't want to see. And then as I've pulled away from that, and like I said, the people that I really, really care about are on my mobile phone. And if any of those people that have been removed off my social media ever message me, all the ones that really count will get a hi mate, how are you? Because I've kept all their numbers. I didn't delete everybody. I just removed the aspect of the internet. Went back to my 80s and early 90s and started just fucking enjoying life again, you know. And since I've done that, and this is early doors, I keep talking about it, it's only 4 months, but in the 4 months, I'm getting a lot less negative episodes. I'm getting a lot less aggression. I'm learning to control myself. I'm learning to control my emotions. Can be difficult, trust me, it fucking can. This isn't the icing on the cake, this isn't the final candle, this isn't the, you know, plaster the, you know, repair the crack. It's nothing like that at all. There is a metaphor out there, I couldn't think of it. This isn't a quick fix. That's the one. this is just me talking to try and help us manage this on a daily basis. I know I have this for life. I know that I could regress at any point. I certainly am fearful that I'm going to have a good summer and I'm going to regress massively in winter next year. I'm already in thoughts of how I can combat that and what I can do to combat that. And from what research I've found, a lot of people go snowboarding in winter because it gives you that similar vitamin D, and you get a little bit of adrenaline and excitement. So that's something I'm going to be looking at doing this winter, saving up to have a week's break when I know it gets really bad for me, which is around November, December time. So plenty going on, but that's forward planning, isn't it? I'm not sitting here now like I would have been last year. Last year I was sat there through summer, had a really good summer, and got to winter and crashed and burned. And then obviously we all know about December. December was a horrible time for me, but November, December is always a horrible time because it's linked with my car crashes, and that's the time when I felt my darkest. So I need to combat that, to try and pick it up, because I know that I pick myself up when the sun comes out. I know that I pick myself up when I can get outside and do things. So I need to manage that. But this is the whole journey. This is the whole planning. This is the knowing that that's when it's going to happen to me. So I'm going, right, on it. James, book something, get something going. Give yourself that little break. Again, it's coupled with money, so there's a lot of thought that has to go into this. It's not just spontaneous. I don't have the disposable income, as they say, to just bugger off for a week. But a bit of forward planning, and you know, we can get this going. So, yeah, massively important strides are being taken here. Really, really big steps. And I think that's massively important for us to do that. And like I said, this one metaphor gave me the whole day to reminisce, think about things, you know, went out walking, I had positivity, you know, sat outside just enjoying the calm day, listening to music. And in that, I gave a lot of thought and a lot of time. And I don't think we do that enough. We don't give ourselves enough time to properly analyze things. And that's why I've called this a reflection hour. I've harped on about meditation and everything, and I still do it to this day. It's like I said, it's every 3 months is how we do to how long it takes. I spoke about this in my last podcast, and it's working for me. I still sit down, I still reflect. I might do it in a slightly different way. I might have the music on, maybe not the lights, or I might sit in the back garden now because it's summertime or spring, you know, into encroaching on summer. So for me, it's nice with an hoodie on and just, you know, a nice blanket, oversized jumper. I just sit there and think. And by thinking, I've given myself full analysis of those people that I've had to let go and that are now sat on that palm at the bottom of the gap. They're the ones that I think about, and I acknowledge you're down there because I give them a fleeting thought now, not as in depth as I used to, but I sit down there and go, you're down there because you've been bad. No, you're down there because you don't want to grow, or I recognise you're on a different path. I recognise you wanted to do something different. I understand that. I'm fully appreciative of what you've given me and what value you gave to my life. I've acknowledged that you're on a different path and you had a massive element of negativity towards me, or we brought negativity depending on who they were. And I've just gone, okay, it's time to let go and carry on climbing that ladder to hopefully success. And I feel better for it. It does take time. Nothing like this. This is not easy. This is not an easy process by any stretch of the imagination. Like I said, 48 episodes in, and I'm still challenged daily with my feelings. Yesterday, I'm having arguments, pathetic arguments. So it doesn't stop. It's not like it's not a quick fix. It doesn't just disappear. You have to manage it, and there'll be times where it will regress. There'll be times, but what I do now is if I'm ever in that mood, is I contact my friends. Or I talk to my friends and it'll perk me up. And that's blocking those negative thoughts from coming in. It's blocking the fog from trying to put back over my eyes. It's giving me that inspiration. It's hard. It's really weird because I made this cheese board earlier on. I made a cheese board for my auntie who... like I say, I fucking love cheese. And I don't know her. I don't know a lot about my auntie, to be fair. Again, you know, families sort of kind of moved apart and I didn't talk to them for best part of 15 years. And I don't really know them now, but she's very relatable to my mum, obviously, because it's her sister. But same sort of personality. And I've seen glimpses of that. So, but they asked me to make a cheese board, my mum did, for a gift, and I said I would do it. And it's taken me, believe it or not, 6 weeks to make this cheese board. And it took me about 3 or 4 hours today to do. But I don't know why it took me so long to find the inspiration and the motivation to do it. And well, I do actually, I tell a fucking lie. I know 100% why I didn't do it. I have this thing that if someone asks me to make something for them, anyone that really knows me knows that's not the way to approach making something for me. Although they didn't, you know, the problem was, is my mum and dad came up to me and said, can you make a gift on one of your cheese boards? They're fucking amazing. We really want to make one for my sister because she fucking loves cheese. So they said to her, I want it to say, I fucking love cheese. And I'm like, okay. So she'd given me direction. Now, it's not because it's my parents, because if anybody gives me direction and says, I want this, I won't do it. I physically cannot do it because I'm not inspired enough to do it. And it's not come from me. It's not me wanting to do it. So people say to me all the time, and I don't mean this in a big edit context by any stretch of the imagination, but I like photography and I'm quite good at it. I like wakeboard and I'm quite good at it. I like, I like designing things. I'm quite good at it, you know, because I make myself be good at these things. The problem is when I get good and I know I've learned the technique, I just move on. I just go fucking done. I bought ice skates and, you know, I've been a couple of times and I fucking love it. But I know for a fact that I won't get good at it. I'm too old and it does hurt quite a bit. So I'm like, recreational, I'll keep the skates for that, but I'm not going to push this sport because... So, and that's where my thought process goes. I lose interest very easily. And today I was kind of sat there, and the reason I sparked myself up today and the reason I was like, fucking mate, you need to get on this, is because consciously I was, you know, my mum and dad were waiting for it, but the other part of me was sat there going, I need to do it because it will keep me busy for the day. And today was the day. There was no rhyme nor reason why today was the day, but it was. And I've done that before. I've put projects down and literally left them. I've got so many unfinished projects. I've got this little grey box. I say little bit. It's an ottoman next to my in my bar. And it's filled with half-finished projects. And it's filled with hundreds of, probably about 100 RAF patches that have not sold because I haven't sold them because I'm not interested in selling them. I designed them. I took the ones out. I took one of each design that I've ever drawn and designed and kept it. And then I was given the extra amount on top that weren't being sold to the RAF. And they were my cut, basically, from the big packs. And I haven't sold them because I'm not interested. They'll sit there and they'll probably end up in the attic, to be honest, which is quite a shame because they are amazing. But I've given them to what people... I've given the ones I like to the people I care about or would be interested in them anyway. That's a more better way of putting it. Be interested because I like everybody that's around me. But if you're not interested in the patch, I don't see the point in giving it to you because you wouldn't see the relevance to it. In fact, I did actually give it to somebody. I gave a patch to an old work colleague in my last place and... he said to me, oh, it'll make a nice tea coaster. And I looked at him and went, you're a fucking dick, mate. And that's the problem. That's why I don't make things for people, because that's a type of, you know, you might get 1 in 10 people that would be really appreciative of it, but those other 9 people will be like him. Oh, right, well, cheers for that. You know, that was a gift from me. He didn't even fucking turn up my leave and do. So, you know, it just goes to show where my level of gratitude and you know, kindness is and where this old fucker is, you know. So, but I don't get disheartened about it, although that sounded very bitter. That's my thought process. So I text my mum and dad and I said, sorry, it's taken so long to do. I just got this process. And they went, oh, there was no pressure. You could have done it whenever. I was like, no, it wasn't about the pressure because I know there was no pressure. I didn't mean it in a negative, and it sounded negative towards them. But I was like, no, it doesn't. I don't mean it in a negative way towards you. What I mean is I wasn't interested in it because I didn't think of it. I didn't want to do it for somebody, as in I hadn't met my auntie and gone and said, oh, the scenario wasn't present when with me. So I heard about it sort of second, third hand, really. So for me, I didn't see the humour factor, the humour side of it, and I didn't see the relevance to it. So for me, it was just a logo on, you know, a bit of olive wood, cut it down, prep it, drill a hole, draw a logo, laser etch it on, seal it, and then give it to them. That's the process. Now, sounds relatively easy. It's fucking not, I can assure you. But I just got to the point where I was like I said, I go through this thing, and people have asked me to do things for them, and I've just looked at them and gone, no, and they look at me like, but I'll pay you money, and I go, no. It's not about the money, mate. Nothing I ever do is about money. That's clearly apparent by the fact that my mum said, right, how much do I owe you for the job? And I was like, well, I know for a fact that cheese boards, you know, a basic cheese board is about £30, £40 for a bit of block, let alone a personalised logo and a little fucking cutting knife. So you're probably looking at about 50, 55 quid. 60 quid if I wanted to be a complete arsehole and say this is fucking one-off, because it is one-off. You wouldn't get this anywhere. And I said to him, no, just pay me for the piece of wood, mate, 15 quid. And that's what I paid for the wood. I paid for a slab of rosewood, and then just cut it and took my, said, not interested in my time because I've enjoyed the process. So I've got a lot out of it. I've done it in my own time. I've done it with my own design. So basically I've removed the emotion that they wanted from it. And that sounds harsh, but it's not. But I've removed their emotion and done it because I remembered in the back of my head that someone wanted it. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to do it now. And I did it. And it turned out fucking amazing, actually. And that's not me blowing my own trumpet. Toot, toot. But it's a process I go through. And I don't think that'll ever get better. What's that relevance to do with mental health, though, he says? And whilst it's the relevance is, it's a journey, isn't it? And the relevance is how every day is a battle. And something as easy as that which I absolutely enjoy doing, was hard to get started. And a lot of people have said, you know, my wife says all the time to me, she's like, James, if you put your heart and mind to it, I think you could probably be a millionaire. Because, I like making one-offs. And if I had a spray shop with all the tools and just myself every single day, I probably could make some really awesome things because I wouldn't have the pressure of anyone else. The downside is it has to be on my terms, it has to be my design. If someone gives me a design, I'm just like, I'm not fucking interested, mate, because it's your design, it's your work, it's not my work, and I'm very much a perfectionist, and I like to own that piece of work. I don't like collaborating with people. I'm very selfish in that sense because I worry that it won't be up to my standard or it won't fit with my suit. For instance, people have asked me to do things and I've just chinned them completely off or gone, yeah. And I've gone, I've got no interest. If I'd have done it within a few days, then you know I'm 100% interested. If I haven't done it yet, I'm not interested because it's either I don't understand it or I'm just not interested. So mental health is a crazy, crazy thing. And learning about myself, and that's the reflection side of things today when I was reflecting and I was thinking to myself, why is it taking me so fucking long to do this? You know, this was a couple of 3 hours and I enjoyed it and it turned out amazing. And I've just gone, well, because you're not interested, mate. So it's like that finding that motivation, even if you're good at something, you might lose the motivation to do it. And that's another thing with mental health. And I've spoke about that with motivation. So it will never subside. It will never disappear, I don't think. I think it's just a battle that I'll endure all the time. And until I can get to the point where I've got enough space to do that, where I can happily make my own things and just pot around, it'd be a dream come true to have a workshop and just evenings and weekends go and, you know, cut out a bit of wood and do a design on it, laser etch it, seal it, do some crazy artwork, do some airbrushing. I mean, I've got all the gear, absolutely no idea. It's a journey, but that's what we're here to do. And we're here to get us through this journey, develop coping mechanisms, talk about this, get it open and out there. And that's where even this reflection thing is so important. I'm sat here staring at a clear sky with the stars out and my pathways lit and I'm enjoying life. Tomorrow's another day and you have to take each day as it comes. But it's so, so important. And like I said, that gap analysis that we spoke about throughout this podcast is really important. Make sure you're looking at your gap. And if you think that gap is closing up because you're trying to pull yourself back into your old ways, then you need to stop, review and move forward. And find out what you're trying to do. Are you doing the work that's pulling you back down? And you're realizing you're doing everything again. Well, you need to sever those ties and move forward and get that gap back to going up, getting that gap distance again, getting you on a better place, getting you up and above. I hope that has given you a little bit of metaphor, a little bit of food for thought on a bit of gap analysis direct from the man himself, Snoop Doggy Dogg. I think he was going to be called Snoop Lion one day, wasn't he? Imagine that. You've got so much money that all you can think about is going, change my name from fucking lion, dog to lion. Yeah, you fucking do it, mate. You do it. What a fucking hard life that'd be, wouldn't it? Hey, that's all you got to think about is how to address your name. So yeah, really important stuff. Really, really important stuff. But it's a journey. We're going through it together. And thank you, like I say, thank you for listening. This has been so good. Motivational Minute coming up tomorrow. I can't wait. I've got another brilliant one to do in the morning. And then, yeah, I've got a really good podcast tomorrow night. And then hopefully Tuesday, I'm gripping some people to do a little talking with me. And that'll be a little live session. So just an hour or so, just talking away. I've got to work it all out. So hopefully we'll get over the little bumbling start and the hurdles I'm going to probably face. But it'll be a good laugh. It's good to try things out and get progressing, isn't it? So get that gap distance up. So enjoy the rest of your evening, and I look forward to talking to you throughout the week. Thanks for listening, and keep smiling.